Blog Talk Radio.
The holidays are here, and you may feel overwhelmed with the hustle and bustle of the season on top of your job responsibilities. Maybe you're looking for work and looking for ways to enhance your job you already have. Or maybe you need a complete job makeover to start the new year off right. Backed by popular demand is our veteran job coach, Laverne Freeman, with new tips and strategies for getting ahead in today's job marketplace. We'll also talk with Laverne about how to fortify your job security throughout 2015. Now is a great time to sit back, listen to today's show, and take stock of where you are in your job search with your job promotion strategy, or making the most of wherever you work. This is the holiday edition for all things related to job and career development. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. Welcome to the show. I hope that you're sort of working off that turkey you ate last week. We had a really good time at my house. I had 13 people. I know that we had our radio program. I broadcast before our guest came, and we had a wonderful time with family and friends and eating all that good food, and I don't feel guilty at all for all that food that I ate. I just know that I'll have something to work off as we approach the new year. But I hope that your holiday season is kicking off in rip-roaring style. There are lots of other news-related issues that we will work in over the next couple of weeks. Certainly, we know what happened with the New York verdict now, with the gentleman who was killed in a police chokehold. Eric Garner is his name. We'll be talking about that case and the Michael Brown case in the weeks to come. Bill Cosby, I've been very fast and furiously commenting on my Facebook page regarding him. So we have lots to talk about in the weeks to come. But now we're going to talk about you and your job and what you need to do to either keep your job, to fortify your job, to maybe have some shopping tips for your job for the holiday season, and certainly what do you need to do to make yourself very valuable and very brandable in your own skin with your own resources, with your own talents and skills that you have. How can you make all of that happen in 2015? We're bringing back our wonderful, very capable job expert, our executive coach, Laverne Freeman, who is here with us, and she spent her time during the holiday season in Virginia, and so she's really back off the road. Laverne, welcome back to Boston, and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Carol. Glad to be here. Glad to be back to Boston also.
Good. That's good.
Yes.
Well, you know, for a lot of us, you've been an entrepreneur. You're now an executive coach working really in a senior advisory role with Operation Able. I've been in business now 27 years, going on 28 years. So we see things a little differently, but for the persons who are on the job, maybe they've been working for 10 years, 2 years, maybe they've just gotten a promotion or they're looking for work, the world can look very different for them. Help us sort of frame the landscape in terms of December 2014. What does the job landscape look like from a northeastern United States perspective? But it certainly has implications around the country.
Well, I know from Massachusetts, I can speak for Massachusetts and probably Rhode Island, the job market is very, very good. They're taking, and I just left a large organization here. It's one of the largest, and they are looking for mid-career professionals, and that's really
great.
My specialty. And they are looking for mid-career professionals. They are really taking that very seriously. They are they've lost the term, and I'm glad they've lost the term of overqualified, and I'm
great.
So happy.
Wow.
That term has been put to rest, and
yeah.
They have put that term to rest, so that you don't have to worry about. They're going through with qualifications. They are really seriously looking at gaps in resumes. So I would say make sure you explain the gaps first on your cover letter. If you have any gaps.
If there are gaps, for, let's say a mid-career professional or someone who's been out of the job market for a while, is that so much a deterrent where they're going to miss job opportunities, or how should they handle that gap?
They are going to miss the job opportunities if they don't explain the gaps. If you don't explain the gaps in a cover letter, they're just going to go next, and that's, you have to explain the gaps, and you have to do it in a cover letter. If a lot of people have been out of work to take care of parents that were ill, things like that, or children that were ill that they had to get to a certain point, for whatever reason, you need to explain the gaps. And if you're coming into Massachusetts from some other place, or if you're changing career paths and you went to school and you have a gap there, why, you need to explain the gaps. Gaps are, gaps have always been bad. They are not good in any, for anybody in any situation. You have to explain the gaps.
So with this one large employer who you met with today, several recruiters who were there, they're sort of bypassing this whole piece about overqualified. How does that relate to other recruiters, other organizations?
Other organizations I've talked to, Carol, I hate to cut across you, but they are not looking at overqualified so much anymore.
Good. Oh, very good. So that's not a problem. So people shouldn't really concentrate on that. Now, tell us more about what the needs are in terms of a cover letter versus your actual resume. How long should a resume be, and how detailed should the cover letter be?
It depends. I don't suggest you put a lot into a cover letter unless you have gaps. I don't suggest you really need a cover letter unless you have something to explain, because the average resume is only getting 30 seconds. That's all you're getting.
Wow.
So
wow.
they're looking at the top, the objective or what you were doing, or your objective or what your interests are, and they're going straight to the educational part for the job, and then they'll read the middle. If the top part that says this is what I've been doing, or this is what I want to do, or this, I'm a research analyst and I'm looking for such and such, and the bottom, the education is okay, then they're going to read the resume. Other than that, they're going to go next. And that's
so
what most people,
also,
I've been a recruiter for 30 years, that's what you do.
What I'm also hearing is that not only should you, in some cases, skip a cover letter, this was if you're not doing an online process, because so much, so many people are now recruiting or applying for work online, is that you got to put your best stuff up front, so that the recruiter will spot your capabilities, your strengths, all of that up front, and we'll want to read more. Is that not true, Laverne?
That's completely true. And most people are, most of I know, they're trying to go paperless, and they are doing everything online. So you need to have it online, but you've got to catch that recruiter's eye, because you've got to do it. You've got to capture that recruiter in like 30 seconds. That's just the way the world is now. So you've got to capture that recruiter for that job in 30 seconds. 30 seconds, you've got to capture that recruiter's eye.
Wow. You know, we just finished a very successful career development series that you piloted. You brought me in as the trainer. We talked about branding, rebranding yourself, reinventing yourself. Also talked about staying relevant, and also talked about networking. We had exercises, great audience participation, and hopefully this will lead to those who attended getting work. One thing that I have really emphasized as a result of the work that I'm doing with you, that I've done with you in Operation ABLE, and I'm telling people now going forward, is that you're not only competing with your peers, people who are in your own age category, you're competing with my six-year-old granddaughter, who is six and in first grade, but knows how to get on the computer, cut it on. She knows how to go. She does a search. She can go to YouTube. She knows how to find the program for her to work with in terms of the art that she wants to do, and she teaches herself online. That's a six-year-old, and she's teaching her three-year-old granddaughter, her sister, to do the same thing. So how is it for those who are aging or those who are even 22 years old to recognize that the world is not just what you see it, But from a recruiter's point of view, it's also what value you bring, given the fact that we have these multiple ages that have their skill sets really intact.
Well, I have to say, you have to stay relevant. I'll use myself as an example. I can say 5 years back or 6 years back, I did not care about programming my VCR or whatever it was. I could care less. I'd hand the thing to somebody else and say, save these programs for me. I want to see it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just had this new stuff put in that's brand new that you go through, and nobody in my house wanted to read the information, and nobody wanted to program it. I picked up the remote, I went right through it, and there I had all my programs, and I was looking. They said, how did you do that? I said, I have to stay relevant, and I'm so in tune to that technology that I can go on anybody's website and upload anything. So that's, I can use myself as an example. I had I came back into the workforce after retiring for 18 months, and I it had changed so much, I had to stay relevant, and I had to get back in it. So you have to stay relevant. You have to stay on top of it, and you have to at all times always learning and be like a sponge, you know, absorbing all the new technology. You have to. These people are talking about a paperless office. They don't even take in resumes that you mail in or that on paper. They're paperless. Paperless.
So the relevancy is important, certainly reinventing or rebranding yourself.
Yes.
Let's talk about the holiday season, and we're going to give maybe three different examples. The those who are graduating from college or some advanced program and they're getting ready to enter the job market in the next couple of months. Let's also look at someone who is an emerging leader, maybe in their mid-30s or latter 20s, and then someone who is rather seasoned, a mid-career person. When you look at the holiday time period and you look at December, what advice would you give the younger person who is, let's say, still in college or graduate school, is going to be hitting the job market in the next couple of months? What advice would you give to them?
Oh, my goodness. You've got me. That's, you know, Carl, you got to help me with this one because I have never really ever worked in that environment, so you've got to help me. I've always worked more or less with people that had experience and that were changing jobs or coming in jobs or whatever.
I think with your experience and with those that you have worked with and certainly counseled over the years, maybe you can give their perspective to those who are coming up the ranks. What perspective or what
Okay, the perspective from a younger person, and it's not my bias, it's a person, is that they're very good electronically, and they come in, they're quick learners, and they can do all this stuff. But when it comes to the customer service skills and all of that, that's where the older worker, as I would say, or the mid-career professional, 45 plus, whatever you want to call them, that's where the field where the millennials, I'll call them, that's where they are lacking. And that's the perception. It's not my perception, but that's the perception of the employers. And they deal with it because these people are fast, quick, and they have the energy level, and they do. But you've got to have the focus on, you know, on not doing certain things. And I have to counsel them because I do have people that I counsel that are younger because at Operation Able we take them from 18 years old plus. I have to counsel them on the same thing, you know, turning off the cell phone or putting it on vibrate and being at work on time and being there every day and, you know, all kinds of things that we take for granted, that we just take for granted that we do. But a lot of programs that we have, they will let you work from home, and they'll let you work from home and come in on certain days. I mean, a lot of employers have those things because they want the energy, they want the modern technology, they want all of that. But with that comes the price. You know, they miss a lot in the customer service field. So I would say to the younger worker to be on the top of your customer service skills, prove that, you know, you can live without your cell phone for 7 hours or 6 hours or 8 hours. Those are the things that I get the complaints on whenever I'm doing a class on, you know, on the millennials. That's where I get the most complaints.
You know, I would also add to that that I think it's also important, even though we're highly sophisticated in terms of technology, you can talk to somebody electronically at the speed of light when it comes to living here and other people living internationally, but the communication skills and the ability to really talk with people, come to agreement with people, build consensus, navigate your way through difficulties and resolve issues. Those skills are paramount in any kind of, we're always talking about relationships and just relationship building. So I would say, particularly for those who are finishing their college career, their graduate career, they've got to go to work in the next couple of months, don't take that lightly. And as you're interviewing, I have an article on my website, tellcarole.com, T-E-L-L-C-A-R-O-L-E.com. If you go to the blog today, go to the Carol's blog section, there's a link to an article that talks about 9 tips for interviewing. And this is these are tips that you can use for face-to-face interviews, all the way from how you nod your head, eye contact, not just direct eye contact, but doing direct facial contact. It's a fascinating article with graphics, so I would encourage you to go to my website. You can go to the link and then find out more about that. It's particularly good for those who are just entering the entering the workforce, and this is a good time to begin that here in December. Now let's move on and talk about the group that you're familiar with, those who are already in the workplace. It's December. What about somebody who has just learned their division is closing down, their job is going to be eliminated? How should they respond during the holiday holiday season?
They should not panic. When they panic and they come to me and they're panicky, the first thing I have to do is to get them to calm down, because right now there are jobs out there. They should not panic. If the job is closing down, they should not take a lot of time off. A lot of people say, "Oh, I'm going to take off." No, you should not take off. They should really take the time to breathe, exercise, whatever it does that calms them down for a couple of days. And that's when I restructure their resume, get their life back on track. They usually find out what's really important, what they have to do, and they usually come see me, and we do a map out, a plan for them. They follow the plan. We go to career fairs that we know are successful. We go to networking events, and we get right back on the horse. We get right back on. Networking is what I advise all of them to start doing. A lot of them have been in a job for 10 years, 12 years, felt secure. No jobs are really secure these days.
And no.
They felt secure. and they haven't had to network. And they need to get on some of the social media websites. I'm not going to tell the ones that I prefer. And they need to start networking right away. And once they do that, get back in the feel of the workforce and the workplace and start networking, I can usually work with them. A lot of them haven't had to interview in a long time, and they haven't had to update their resume, but they need to get right back on the horse. They need to get, because the holidays is a really hard time to be out of work, so I try to keep them busy. I keep them in classes like you had over here, reinvention, but the networking then is very important.
Yeah, that's a key point. And I want to identify the social platform that every person who's listening to this show who either wants to get a job, keep a job, or move up, you need to be on LinkedIn.
Yes.
Every person I know, every recruiter, HR person, is looking first at LinkedIn, and then they're moving on. So it's not just putting your profile on LinkedIn. You've got to actively be engaged in conversation and dialogue and discussion. You've got to build up. It's one thing to get on LinkedIn and have maybe 10 contacts. It's another thing to really work it. So you got to learn how to work LinkedIn. So I would highly recommend that. And if you're on Twitter, make sure that you're not only on Twitter, but you're also actively posting on Twitter. You can't just follow people and listen and then have no tweets at all. You've got to actively get in the game. So You can spend a lot of time or a little time on social media. This goes for Facebook as well. But it's one thing to get on there, but it's another thing to really work it. But LinkedIn is the place to go. Now, let's move on and talk about the seasoned worker. Maybe they're 5 years away from retirement, or maybe they've had some disruptions or whatever. What advice would you give that seasoned person so that they won't burn out early, so that they won't give up? Where how can they be re-energized as a veteran career person?
Well, I've got some people like that also, and I have quite a few that come in here like that. They're quite burnt out. They think the world is beat up on them or whatever. And we always start. Of course, I start everything with the resume, and we go through their resume. We go through and pick out the skills in the resume that they things that they did that aren't even on the resume that they know how to do, and they know how to do. Well, people are buying talent. That's what employees are looking for. Employers, I'm sorry. They are looking for talent. And I go through the resume, and we have a resume person here. We go through and we pull out the talent. And once we pull out the talent and we meet with that person, the resume person here that does the writing, and put that person's talent onto the resume, that person just comes to life. They said, that was just something I did. I didn't even, but they have talent, and employers here are buying talent, and that's how we do it here. We bring out the talent,
and I hear now the word is talent acquisition and managing talent, diverse talent. So not only do you need to pull your talent up, but you also know what you need to know what the new buzzwords are.
Exactly,
definitely a new buzzword.
Yep, right. That's what
Laverne,
we call
it. Tell us, we're at the end of the year. We've gone through a rocky, rough, up, down, exhilarating 2014. We're looking smack dab into 2015, January 2015. Tell the average listener what he or she needs to do to make sure that they're at the top of their game, whether they're looking for work, they're already in a job, or they're going to be moving on to a new job or retiring as well. Tell us how the average person should really prepare for 2015.
Well, I would say retiring is not my thing, so I can't do much for that.
Not mine either.
Because I retired and came back, so I couldn't do the retirement thing. I tried everything to stay retired. Didn't work for me. But I just went to 3 days a week at a nonprofit because I just had too much energy to retire, and that's not my thing. But I say always, this is what I always believe in, Carol, always be looking for the next opportunity. You might not need it. You might not want to leave your job, but always be open to the next opportunity. Stay relevant and always stay attuned to what other people are doing, the younger people, and stay open to reinventing yourself. But more than anything, keep your network flowing. Your network is what's most important out there. When you lose your job, the network is what you need. People, 80% of the people get another job by networking. Most people that I see come in here don't have a network. That's all it is. They come in and I brush them up, dust them off a little bit, tell them some of the newer things to do, but they don't have a network.
Wow. I work with State Street Corporation. They're my clients and my sponsors, and I did a program for them last night, in part based on the work that we did. I talked about networking. And I mentioned to them, and I'll mention to people on the air, whatever, if you're working for an organization and there's something free that you can go to, especially if it's free and food, and you're going to have a chance to meet new people, even if it's a lecture on a topic that you're not even interested in, go.
Yep.
Go. Expose yourself. Expand your mind. And that's where you can meet people. So it's not just going to stuff that you like and where you think everybody's going to be and things are going to be magically open for you. It's how can you expand your horizon so that when there are free things, there's something going on all the time in Boston. So, I mean, you're never at a loss for things to do. But if you live in a smaller community or a small town, maybe there's something on a college campus or a community college campus they have programs all the time, and many of them are open to the public. So maybe you can get on their mailing list and find opportunities to go and learn and meet new people. My
Go ahead. Our communications director here, she volunteers for those things so that she can get in to meet new people. She volunteers. And she gets it and she meets new people that way. And that's something I've started doing that I never thought of.
That's a great idea. And I know people who are they performances where they volunteer to usher or be a greeter or certainly conferences. Right now, the Massachusetts Conference for Women is going on literally as we speak. Hillary Clinton is one of the keynote speakers. 10,000 women who are there. There are opportunities where those kind of large conferences where you can go as a volunteer.
That's what she does.
And that's how you can meet people.
Well,
this has been terrific, and I want you to give your contact information because I know some of our listeners will probably want to get in touch with you if they're here in the Boston area, or give us your phone number and your email address and maybe the Operation Able website.
Okay. The Operation Able website is www.operationable.net, all one word, Able, A-B-L-E, operationable.net, and I am an entity that's, even though I work in Operation Able, you don't have to come here to take classes. You can contact me directly, and I can actually bring you in and talk with you and see you. So even though I'm a part of it, I'm like a separate part of what they do. You can, my email is lfreeman@operationable.net, and my telephone number here is 617-542-4180. That's how you
Laverne
I work
Freeman.
Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Oh, awesome. Laverne Freeman, you are delightful, engaging, always filled with information, and talk about staying relevant. You are the queen. Staying relevant. You have such great information. I've taken notes. I'm going to be tweeting out some of your quotes too, especially about people are buying talent. I've got
that's
three
what
or four
buying.
Quotes that you've given today
yep.
that are going to go on Twitter.
That's what the employers are buying. They're buying talent. So you have to reach in deep and pull out that talent.
Reach in deep and pull out that talent.
That's yep, that's what they're buying. Pull out
that's
the talent.
Happy holidays to you.
Thank you
so much for everything. And we will look forward to your next recorded presentation here on my radio program. I hope you have a great holiday season.
Okay.
Laverne Freeman, thank you.
Thank you, Carol. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. All right. Laverne Freeman is just, she's just a bundle of energy, been a friend for a long time, but most importantly, she's relevant, and she is out there, so she's talking to the decision makers, and she's talking to those who are hiring, and even if you don't live in Boston, I'm sure this information is going to be applicable to your neck of the woods, wherever you happen to live, particularly here in the U.S. and Canada, and you can apply it elsewhere, because many of our companies are global and multinational. State Street Corporation is certainly global, and so much of this applies across the waters. So I just hope that this will be a way for you to recharge your batteries. And I guess the point that I want to make is the whole piece about staying relevant and knowing that this is a very competitive world that we live in, that your skills today have to be relevant and up-to-date and sellable. I love Laverne's quote about I'm hoping that you will find new ways at every way, wherever you can, to learn something new and just sort of pull it into your repertoire of learning and skills. Even if you're retired, Laverne retired for 18 months and now she's back on the job. You may retire and you may find that for whatever reason you're going to come back to work, you're going to have to be even more relevant now. So keeping up with things, learning online. That is what we're talking about so that you can become the most empowered person in your community, in your area, and you can share that knowledge with other people. We'll be back next week. We're going to talk finance next week with Lurie Davis. This is Carol Copeland-Thomas. Go to my website. Check out that 9 tips link at tellcarol.com. Go to the blog section, read the article. We'll actually post this interview there, and then the link for that article will be there as well. Have a great week or weekend. We will see you next week.